Scotland's Bruce Mason Centre is celebrating its 25 years of hosting plays, shows, rehearsals and workshops on the North Shore. It's also the 100th year celebration of the playwright and reviewer it's named after. But the centre came perilously close to not being built at all. Angela Anthony has spent decades as a patron and all-round champion of the arts. She considers building the Bruce as her greatest achievement.
The North Shore at the time, I mean, it's almost 40 years ago, since 37 to be exact, they didn't have anything on the shore. You went over to town for everything, and the shore was a very different place. It was a young community still, but there were all these amazing arts groups on the shore, and it more or less came about by accident with me and my husband working with North Shore Operatic, and the Tudor Theatre in Takapuna came up for sale, and we thought, oh, because they were selling out shows at the delightful little Pump House Theatre, and we needed a bigger venue. We thought, oh, well, something that everybody can use. And the North Shore Times did one small article, and my phone didn't stop ringing. And I thought, well, yes, everybody does want something. And it snowballed from there. And we had a meeting at the North Shore Club Rooms just to judge the interest. And we ended up having to limit it to 3 people per organisation because there were so many people wanting to come. And that meeting formed a steering committee. It was 30-odd groups representative, which just showed that the shore arts were thriving. And it went from there, and the steering committee formed the trust. And it sort of, I was caught on the treadmill, ended up chairing the steering committee, and then, of course, being on the trust, and we went from there. But that took 12 years.
I was going to say, you're making it sound easy, Angela, but it was not. I mean, there was quite a battle. So what you're saying is there was support from the arts community.
Absolutely.
There was support from the broader community. So what was the holdup?
Councils. We had a council change, and there were 5 councils on the shore at that time. So I spent the first couple of years going round every council meeting monthly, and then they would put me to the mayoral forum, which they had afterwards. And I think they thought I'd get tired of this, but it only made me all the more determined, actually. And we kept going round in circles, and we, as a trust, just kept pursuing things. We did feasibility studies. We got everything we needed for the statistics. And as councils changed, you had to re-educate all the new councillors, of course, and then you were back to square one, and that's why it took so long. There was a wonderful planner in the original Takapuna City Council who said to me, look, do yourself a brochure, save yourself some time. So we did. We put all our plans in a brochure, and then we could just literally hand it to everybody as they came in. And I don't know whether it affected all of them or not, but it certainly helped. And then finally, just before amalgamation, we were granted the land in the promenade in Takapuna with that lovely view of Bruce Mason's Pohutukawa tree and Rangitoto and all the rest of it. Absolutely appropriate. And then the next amalgamated council, we sort of trod water for 3 years while they decided whether they were going to try and get the land back from us and build a car park and a supermarket on that particular site. And just before the next election, they changed their minds. But the next lot of councillors were all very different, and we went from there. But as I say, it took 12 years from 1984 when I started it until the opening.
Nick. Honestly, what a roller coaster.
If I'd known when I started, I may not have done it.
Oh, of course you would. But, no, of course
well,
you would.
The thing was, we had the most wonderful set of trustees, and without them, we wouldn't have kept going. But we got to the stage where we weren't going to waste all the time that we had put in voluntarily and let these paid councillors get away with it. And we had some wonderful support on council, and that did help. But the stirrers were, oh, I don't know where they were coming from. But however, we managed it.
Well, you proved them wrong, because it really has been invaluable for the North Shore and beyond. What are some of the highlights, do you think, looking back? I know it's a big question over 25 years, but what do you think the Bruce, the difference that it's made to the community?
Well, the idea was that it would make a heart for the shore, because the shore on itself was very fragmented initially with the 5 councils, and then after amalgamation everybody still went to town for major events with Philharmonia and the ballet and the orchestra and the opera and everything. And to have them come into the Bruce Mason was wonderful. And I danced for years, and I think one of my favourites is sitting in the theatre with the first performance of the Royal New Zealand Ballet there and thinking, oh, this is why I did it. So, yes, there's been so many things that I've thought, yes, it was the right thing to keep going.
Well, Angela, it was one thing actually getting it built, but of course 25 years on, the fact that it is still going is actually huge, because that's not the case for an awful lot of venues who get off to a flying start and then, you know, things can really slap them around. So how do you feel that the centre has been able to survive and thrive?
Well, it's taken an awful lot. I mean, initially we had the board of management who ran it independently, and it became obvious that if we were going to have anything other than local events, we would have to have other things. And we went into, eventually, after a decade, went into talks with Regional Facilities Auckland, and they took over the management, which was a very sensible thing to do. Initially, we didn't want to do that because we didn't want it to become not a community facility, but they have maintained it because they can use it as major events coming in and also use community subsidies. So that's been really positive.
And the community too. I mean, as you say, having that kind of opportunity to see so much for the North Shore, that must have been appreciated. I mean, do you think the community's changed much in the 30 years, the North Shore?
I think the North Shore's grown up a lot. It was definitely the seaside suburb. But I do think that an awful lot of people go to the Bruce and don't go into town, and therefore they're still getting exposure to the arts when they want to.
As an audience girl, what is it that you love about live performance, be it musical theatre or theatre or dance? Of course, dance being very dear to your heart.
It's far more intimate. I mean, film is wonderful, but it's not the same as the actual individuals being there. And you get a different, slightly different performance every time. It's nuanced. It's just all-encompassing. It's wonderful.
Must have been hard for you, as it was for everybody during lockdown. Were you concerned? Were you concerned for the Bruce? Were you concerned for companies that you worked with?
Oh, it was extremely hard for the arts, but they diversified wonderfully with YouTube shows, and it made people think in different directions. And it actually, in some ways, was quite a nice time. It was almost like New Zealand in the 1950s. It was very challenging for a lot of companies, and I know a lot of them had great difficulty financially, but they had to diversify, and in some ways that's been a good thing because now they have more than one string to their bow. So going forward, this has to be a positive to most things.
Angela, we did a little bit of juggling for this interview because you've got family over from London. And both your children, I'm not surprised by this, both your children have gone into the arts, the creative arts, television,
yes.
And your son in photography.
Todd, an international photographer, which of course this time is a little difficult. So he and his family are here for 6 months, and this is wonderful. It took them 6 months to get into MIQ, mind you. but it's been fabulous having them here. And they're having to rearrange quite a few things with London being their main base and not being able to travel the way that he used to for his job. But he will need to be doing some work while he's here, I think. So he's working on that right now as we speak.
And your daughter's in TV?
Yes, Rachel is CEO of Greenstone TV.
Very, very busy production and, company, my goodness.
Yes.
Well, it surprises me not at all, of course, that your children have gone into the arts. And I think you met your husband at the King and I.
Yes, well, this was going back pre-treaty, darling. I mean, let's face it, 1960, down in Wellington, Wellington Operatic, we met at rehearsals for the King and I, which they were doing for the Wellington Festival in 1961. He was a priest and I was a temple dancer. Look what happened.
That's so romantic.
Well, fortunately, we both had the same interests because we supported each other through what we were doing in the arts all our lives. And other than that, I think we'd have been divorced with the time I spent on building the Bruce Mason. And he ended up being president of Musical Theatre New Zealand for quite some years.
Well, let me go back even further. What place did the arts have in your childhood?
Well, my mother had been a dancer, but of course in those days one didn't do anything more with that. And her father had been a beautiful tenor, so I had the arts there. And on my father's side, he was the black sheep of the family because he was a company director. And Uncle Roger was Roger Myrams, who started Pacific Films with John O'Shea, and Uncle Gordon was Gordon Myrams, who was chief film censor. So we used to spend our weekends at their places with all the cousins making films and showing them to the poor, long-suffering parents afterwards. And I thought that was a normal childhood.
Oh, she's fab. Angela Antony, the driving force behind the Bruce Mason Centre and Tamaki Makaurau.